right. Well, good morning, church. I was starting to get excited. I thought, I'm going to get to exit the children out today. But Miss Deborah showed up and took care of that. So, well, it is good to be with you, and no doubt our hearts certainly have been touched, and I know that some special folks in Texas that are going to be here next weekend, their hearts have been touched and led by the Lord, and yours have as well as you get ready to receive Clayton and his family next weekend. But our hearts have been touched as we know that our students, young people, participated in a great weekend, and we thank you for Noah and any other youth workers that were a part of that. And evidently, if you stay up all weekend, I did have to wonder, Noah, are you even in here? Are you still here? He's probably asleep somewhere. I noticed I turned, I don't know if it was my daughter and or my wife or somebody, and I've noticed they've all left. None of them are over there. But I think they're helping out in the nursery, so... But Noah had it. Did anybody know? He had like a, it looked like a clothespin was hanging. That's what I thought. Doug, I thought, is that to help him remember something? But anyway, I thought, well, maybe that's what happens after you spend an entire weekend with students and you leave a clothespin. But anyway, he's powered through, and then appreciate Ryland so very much and the rest of the worship team. Ryland's not feeling well. And he kind of powered through. And what a great time of worship, right, church? Amen. And to declare together, there's just something about that. I just even got lost myself for a few moments. You know, it feels great. Not just a feeling, but it's a feeling and it's a declaration of faith. Especially when you're gathered together with other folks to declare who God is. That he is a way maker, and he's a promise keeper, and he's a miracle worker, and he's light in the darkness. And I don't know, maybe you find yourself here today, and maybe there's been some darkness in your life, but I want to tell you, church, God is a God of light. He's the God of hope, and he's the God that restores and transforms and changes and loves and saves to the uttermost. And for that, we gather and give him praise and worship today. And I think that in declaring who God is, we've been definitely in a series of messages in the book of James in our series Functional Faith. And James has been declaring and challenging and confronting what our life is to be about if we claim Christ and follow Christ. And so finally we come to the end, if you will, church, to our time together in the book of James. And it seems fitting that it ends in a section of Scripture in James chapter 5 that begins in verse 13 and runs to the end of the chapter that really focuses on the reality and the need for and the importance of prayer. So let's look at that together, beginning in James chapter 5, verse 13. It says, is any one of you in trouble? If so, he should pray. If anyone is happy, let him sing songs of praise. If any one of you is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. For if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And then oftentimes, as we've seen in the book of James, some great reference of the prophets and certainly illustrations of great imagery that James uses throughout the book to support that which he has declared. That the righteous, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It leads into this pointing to the life of Elijah. For he was a man that was just like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. But then again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And then he closes with these verses that focus on the reality and the need to share the gospel of Christ, to share the gospel of hope, to have maybe even those conversations within those of the family of faith, those that are trying to live out functional faith, that if somehow we become wayward or we become having trouble and difficulty enduring and persevering, that we would go forward and bring alongside those folks to help us in doing that. But it says, my brothers, if any one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this, that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, there's no doubt that James has gone into and had us look at a number of things, ways to evaluate our faith, that our faith, true saving faith, authentic faith, is that faith that is marked by a proper response when trials and difficulties and even temptations come our way, that the Word of God is important, the wisdom of God is important, God's standards for holy living are important, and that we would respond to people in such a way, people that are different from us and probably a whole lot of different ways, but that we would respond to people and that we would manifest our righteous deeds and the way that we respond to folks maybe that are even different from us. Chapter 3 spoke of the importance of watching our speech and certainly God's wisdom and of not being a friend of the world, having an element of obviously integrity and character and morality about our life, and that in humility, in chapter 4, the importance of humility and walking humbly with our Lord, we would submit to His will for our lives. And then certainly last week in the beginning and part of chapter 5, having a proper view of just stuff and money and those kinds of things, and again, walking in truthfulness. And so it seems right that James ends all of this with a focus on prayer and the prayer that is offered in faith. One of the things that got my attention as I considered these verses for this service and for this time and this day in sharing this message was just the, if you will, the everyday real life experiences in life, the questions that are asked by the author. Is any one of you in trouble? He just simply says, you ought to pray. If any of you is sick, you ought to pray. If any of you is happy, you should give praise and give worship from a heart that is filled with gratitude and praise to the Lord. And so there's these the call to prayer that's so connected to just everyday real life. And I know that my eyes gaze out on folks. Does not matter your age. Doesn't matter if you're a child or a teenager, young adult. Doesn't matter if you're a senior adult or somewhere in between, all of that. You are experiencing and living real life. And I think if there's anything that we're being reminded of today is that whatever we are experiencing in life, whatever everyday events, listen, I know that if you care about that big game today, you've probably prayed that one of those teams will win. Come on now. And it may not work out for your team. But you know what? Yeah, I heard that. Go Chiefs. Yes, I agree. Anyway, we're digressing. But the call is to pray. If you're in trouble, pray. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 50, the 50th Psalm, call on me in the day of your trouble, and I will deliver you. In your distress, the scripture says, you called on me, and I rescued you. It also says, again, an everyday event, if there's happiness, if there's joy, if there's excitement, all of those things, the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 to sing to the Lord, sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. This week, we all know, probably most of you, if not all of you, have heard. We continue to hear about it, and certainly if you are any on any of the sports stations, certainly what a shock it was. And the tragic accident with Kobe Bryant and those folks that were in that helicopter and all of them losing their lives, and some families lost several family members, and just an awful, horrible, tragic thing. But I was watching one morning, the other morning, I was watching ESPN. There was a sports personality, and they covered Kobe Bryant and just covered, you know, certainly his life, and he was a person that no doubt, like all of us, he was not perfect. He was flawed. He had made some poor decisions in his life and had some difficulties in his life, but he and this certain sports personality from ESPN were communicating late into the night, and Kobe had flown back. I don't know if you know this, but that last Los Angeles Lakers team that he played on, it's the only team that he played for in his entire NBA career, he scored 60 points in his last game. And that particular team, that Laker team, was not very good. And so there was some text messaging and some communication back and forth with this ESPN personality. And what struck me was just the down-to-earth, you know, she mentioned that he was a person of faith. She said he really didn't talk about that. He didn't put that out there necessarily, oftentimes in a public manner. But she said he was a man of faith, and she asked him, she said, you know, I've written this article. I've been working on it for weeks, actually several months. Your retirement has been looming, and then you go out on your last game, and you have this amazing game. You score 60 points. And she said, you've messed up everything. I thought I had this article written, and now I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with your last game, and how do I incorporate that? And he shared some things with her. And then she said, well, what did you do after you got home? And he said, well, to be honest, it was late. It was extremely late, but some of my kids were still up, and so with some of my girls, we watched movies. We ate pepperoni pizza. He said, they fell asleep in my arms. I took them to bed. And finally, I got into bed myself about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, only to get up early the next morning. He said, nobody else was up. Everybody obviously was still in bed. And this is what struck me, church. And I got to tell you, I'm definitely not a Lakers fan. and I wasn't necessarily a Kobe fan. But when I heard this recounted about his life, and especially on the last day of the last game that he would play for the Lakers and have this amazing game and score 60 points. He said, I awoke early the next morning. I'd only had a couple hours of sleep, but I just, it seemed like the right thing to do was to go to church. And he said, I went by myself. None of my family went. I didn't wake them up to go. I just went. And he said, I went and I worshiped, and I was grateful, and I was thankful for this amazing life that I've been able to have, this amazing family that loves me, this amazing career that I've had. And he said, I just went to church and I gave thanks. James says, is any one of you happy? Sing songs of praise. Now, church, I know that, you know, how many of us know that sometimes life, there's you got to really dig deep to find some happiness. Sometimes life is a struggle. Sometimes life is difficult. But you pray and you give thanks and you persevere and you endure and you go forward, even when it's difficult. Is any one of you sick? James would write through the inspiration of the Spirit, then you ought to pray. And I think it's important, church, this morning to take note of the fact that the word that is used there, it does mean to physical illness and physical issues and those kinds of things, but it also speaks to that which is a sickness of just endurance and perseverance in life. It speaks to the reality, if you will, of just being exhausted. Exhausted by life. Exhausted because of the stress of life. Exhausted because you're just simply exhausted and weary and struggling. And can I tell you today, pray if that's you. If you're spiritually struggling and you're weary and you're tired in the battle, pray. You see, that's what James said. He said, bring those alongside of you and not just pray, but involve others. The scripture says it this way. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. For the power of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We should pray. I heard a story this week of a couple that they did have literal physical illness come into their family. The father, the husband, was diagnosed with some significant stuff and was going to have surgery. Part of the ministry, part of the way they serve the Lord and love people and share the gospel and pray and do all those things is through a small group that meets in their home. And they do that every week. And folks gather and they break bread together and they love on one another and they share prayer requests and they pray and they dive in to the Word of God and they study that together and they talk about that together and how do we have functional faith and all of that stuff. But on that particular day, they went to the hospital. He was going to have this serious surgery. And right before he was to go in, and they were getting ready to, you know, do the stuff that prepares you for surgery, his phone began to blow up with all kinds of text messages and phone calls of the people that are involved in his small group, saying, man, we're praying for you and we're praying to God on your behalf and seeking his will and we're praying for your heart and your acceptance and your courage and all that you're facing and all of this stuff. And here's what he said. He said, I felt the power and presence of God through the prayers of his people. You know, sometimes, church, the involvement of others in our lives is that we gather and worship, and maybe some of us are grateful, and so we sing praises from a grateful and thankful heart, but maybe some of us are gathering and we're worshiping and we're trying to endure and persevere and we're exhausted and we're weary and we want folks to come alongside and pray with us. But other times, maybe even that coming alongside is the first part of verse 16, where it says you pray, but you also confess. You confess your sins. You don't necessarily try to hide those sins or cover those sins or justify or rationalize those sins, because the scripture simply tells us this, and I'm just sharing scripture, church. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But if you or I or anybody else, and especially when I speak to those that are a part of the family of faith, the family of God, remember, the book of James, the context of it is those who were believers, those who were scattered, those who were persecuted, those who were weary and exhausted. But even in that, James was giving the message of this is what your life is to look like and be like as you follow Christ. And so is it any wonder that he would end with a focus on prayer? But church, do we believe and somehow think that somehow we can conceal and hide and rationalize and justify? Because the Word of God tells us the person who conceals his sins does not prosper. And again, we could have a great time of discussion and Bible study and try to figure out exactly what is meant by that word prosper and all that goes through that. What it tells me is simply this, that when you and I or anybody else tries to conceal and rationalize and justify and hide their sins, we do so, but know that it will affect us. But it says, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. See, I think that's why when we pray because we have hope. And we pray because by God's grace, we can have good Christian godly relationships with godly men and women and boys and girls and teenagers and young adults, that when even when we're sick, we're exhausted, we're weary, we're struggling in the battle, they can come alongside us and pray for us, and we can even confess things and share things. You know, as a pastor, as a preacher, I like what one person said, prayer taps the source of spiritual endurance. Prayer taps the source of enduring and persevering even in affliction. And I agree with E.M. Bounds, as a pastor and a preacher and a communicator, talking to men for God is a great thing. I like doing that. Sometimes more than others. But he said this, but talking to God for men is greater still. Is any among you in trouble? Pray. Is any among you happy? Then sing songs of praise and gratitude from a grateful and thankful heart. Is any among you sick? Whether it be physical sickness or emotional, spiritual exhaustion, pray. Confess your sins to one another. In preparation for today, I came across a verse I was reading in another book, and I don't even know what the chapter was focusing on, but I focused in on a verse, 1 Peter 2:6. Which really is a reference to scripture that you find in Isaiah chapter 28. But it says in 1 Peter 2:6, the one who trusts in him will never be disappointed. And church, I got to tell you, man, I stayed there for a while. I couldn't take my eyes off that verse. I couldn't. And I began to ask the Lord, well, Lord, I know that that's not saying that we'll never have disappointment in life. Because how many of us, maybe this morning, you're in the midst of disappointment. You're coming out of some disappointment. But I kept going over that verse in my heart and my mind. The one who trusts in him will never be disappointed. Some translations say it this way, the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. The one who trusts in him will never be stricken with panic. The one who relies on him. Then I went back to that actual reference of Isaiah chapter 28, which is interesting to me because I think if anything, James is reminding us of the mercy and compassion of a God who loves us, who is for us, who wants to hear from us. And again, church, in Isaiah chapter 28, it's an interesting thing that it's the people of God, Israel, Judah, Ephraim, it's mentioned in some translations. What they have done is the Bible says they have made a lie their refuge, a falsehood their hiding place. And what they were doing was they had aligned themselves, they had made an alliance with Egypt so that they would be protected. They would have a sense of protection and security. And God sends them the prophet Isaiah to confront them in this alliance, this aligning of themselves with Egypt, that will bring them the protection and the security that they want and their desire. And the scripture goes on to say in Isaiah chapter 28 that you have done this thing, and in doing so, the scripture says, well, very well then, because now foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to you. And what that meant, church, was because they had aligned themselves with Egypt for security and protection and not relying on the Lord, they had forgotten. He reminds them, it says, see, for I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone. It is the precious cornerstone. And it is a sure foundation. And here is that reference that you find in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. For the one who trusts in him will not be disappointed. The one who trusts in him will never be dismayed. See, the people, God's own people, thought that that was the right thing to do. And how many people have made alliances that they believe will protect them and bring them security and bring them pleasure and joy and a sense of purpose? Maybe it's connected to a relationship or relationships. Maybe it's money or power. Maybe it's prestige or recognition. Maybe it's to have control or self-advancement, whatever it is. Can I remind us to this morning, church, that the early church, when they gathered to pray, and they did so often, the early church centered on seeking the advancement of the kingdom and the advancement on the gospel, listen, in virtually every situation in life. They prayed for the advancement of the kingdom and the advancement of the gospel. And James ends his time of focus on prayer in that very thing. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from a death or from death and cover over a multitude of sins. See, church, we need to have an understanding of the weight of sin. It's an understanding of the weight of sin that realizes what God has done for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. As the scripture says in Hebrews 12, this laying aside of the weights and the hindrances that so easily entangle us, the sins, it isn't a one-time thing. It's a still and a skill acquired through constant practice. Because it obviously comes against those who are Christians as well. And when it comes to sin, we must insist on leaving no room for compromise. For we as the people of God, even though we may be saved, and even though we may be a child of God, we mourn sin. No matter where we see sin, how prevalent it is, the faithful of God remain mournful of sin. It was the great prince of preachers, Charles Spurgeon, who said there are two great lessons which every man must learn and learn by experience. before he can become a Christian. First, he must learn that sin is an exceeding great and evil thing. Church, let us not forget, as the church, that sin is a very great and exceeding evil. We must not forget that. But we must also remember this, and it applies to the believer as well, that the blood of Christ is an exceedingly precious thing, and it is able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto it. So, church, we may have conversations with even within the own our own church family, our own church body, those who are struggling, those who maybe have become entangled in hindrances and things that take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and more on our own agenda and our own life. And those folks are sick, spiritually sick. And we go to them, we have gospel conversations, and we cry with them, and we pray with them, and we confess sin to one another, and we let God use us in their life and them in our life to keep us close to the Lord. So that when we come as a body of believers, we declare who God is. That way maker, that miracle worker, that promise keeper, that darkness does not overtake our life, but we live by the light of God's word that is a lamp unto our feet. And he guides our ways and our paths, but we also share the gospel with confidence that it is that which saves sinners to the uttermost. You see, church, it is no, I think, accident that James ends with that which focuses on prayer. I was reading a book just this week. Dr. John Bassanio wrote the book entitled The Power of Positive Praying. And in that book, he writes and simply says that we pray for the lost and we share the gospel with the lost. Because the Word of God teaches it, mandates it. History proves it. And changed lives and transformed lives give testimony to the power of God and to His glory. Church, we pray. If any of us is in trouble, we rejoice with those and stand alongside those who are happy and grateful as they sing praises to God, this faithful God. And if there be any sick, whether it be physical sickness or spiritual weariness and exhaustion, the joy that we have as the church, as we involve others, we bring others into our life that love us. And the thing that we do is we pray. We pray, we share, we serve, we love. Functional faith, believing and trusting for His glory and His honor. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time once again to gather as Your people. And Lord, as we leave this place in just a moment, there will be great anticipation for next weekend. God, we thank You for Your leadership. In that way, we thank You for the answering of prayers in that way. But as we look forward to that, Lord, there is also the reality of the everyday experiences of life, the ups and downs, the sorrow, the joy, the trouble and the distress, the sickness, the weariness and exhaustion that comes from just doing life. Lord, I pray that this week, at least for the people of Central Baptist Church, that it may begin even today, that we will pray. We will pray with fervency. We will pray with passion. We will pray with belief in you, our great, compassionate, merciful, great God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, church, before we leave today, just know this, that certainly the fellas are over there at the connection room. I'll be down here as well if you want to pray. But if any of you, man, if there's some trouble, we want to pray with you today. And if any of you is sick, if any of you is happy, or any of those, or it may not even be connected to any of those three things, just know this, we are available when this service ends. And it ends as you stand right now, and we will declare together. Go ahead, there you go. We will declare that which we, here at Central Baptist Church, this is what we helped make us stay focused and stay on track and to keep our hearts and minds on the thing that matters most, that we would, right together, church, we would live for Christ, we would love people, and that we would make disciples. God bless you. You're dismissed.